Sports Meets Beer Podcast, episode 94. It is the holidays, friends. You would know that because if you can hear in the background, we are watching Nick Offerman.
Actually, it looks like Nick Offerman might be watching us in front of his Yule log.
Quite possible. It's creeping me out.
I know. It makes you so uncomfortable. If you do not know what we are talking about.
I think you mispronounced the word annoyed, but that's fine.
If you do not know what you're talking about, well, lucky you, you can go back into the archives of the Sports Meets Beer podcast. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts, and you can see that we have had Nick Offerman join us in spirit on the podcast before his Dalmore Scotch ad, where he just sits in front of the fireplace for 45 minutes and just stares into the camera while the fire burns. It makes Ben really annoyed and uncomfortable. And so I've brought it back in the tradition of the spirit of the holiday season. We did it, I think, the last time we did, we had the triglyceride correspondent Kevin Brink on.
We did, because you guys were giggling like idiots.
As I am doing right now. Anyways, any case, episode 94, ladies and gentlemen, check it out. Brad Barmore. That is Ben Perry. This is the Sports Meets Beer podcast, back after a 1 week hiatus, I think. And I don't think we were putting.
I don't think anyone really missed us.
Well, we had content to put out, but we haven't recorded it in 2 weeks.
Right.
So it's good to be back here at our usual table.
Yep. Table number 7, I think.
We don't have table numbers.
Oh, well. Anyway,
it is the week before Christmas, and all through the house. I got nothing else. We don't have a rodent problem in this restaurant, so I don't really have any jokes to make.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. Check us out on all the social medias, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams, the Untapped. You can email the show at sportsmeetsbeer@gmail.com. Email us about anything. Topics you want us to discuss. Beers you want us to try. Things we said that made you mad. Things that we said that made you laugh. Things that we said that made you go poop. Whatever. Email the show. Let us know. It's one of our favorite things. But here we are, week before Christmas. We're down to the week 16 of the NFL season. And the playoff picture is not really any clearer than it was before we sat down on Thursday to watch that game. As it currently stands in the AFC, the Chiefs are the number one seed. Texans are the number two seed. Patriots are the number three. The Steelers are the number four. The Chargers are number five, and the Ravens are number six. But watch out. The Chargers might actually be in a position to take the number one seed, as they are currently tied with the Chiefs.
What?
In the NFC, the Saints are the first seed. They currently have home field advantage. You could pretty much put that in the bank that they're going to finish that out. The Rams are the number two seed, followed by the Chicago Bears, the Dallas Cowboys, the Seattle Seahawks are the fifth seed, and the Minnesota Vikings are the sixth seed, which is pretty remarkable. You're going to see the Seahawks at the Cowboys, which I think will probably be the most compelling game of that first week, I would argue, because I think if the playoffs were to end today, you're going to get Ravens at Patriots, Chargers at Steelers, Vikings at Bears, and Seahawks at Cowboys. And I think, I take it back. Chargers-Steelers is pretty compelling.
That'd be a great game.
Pretty compelling.
So to go back to your point of that, the Chargers may dethrone the Chiefs. Chargers have Ravens.
Yep.
The Red Hot Ravens.
Yes.
And then the Broncos, who are lukewarm at best.
They are not red hot.
Right. On this side of the coin, you've got the Chiefs play the Seahawks. the Seahawks, and then the ice cold Raiders.
The Chiefs are in Seattle this weekend. That's a tough place to go and play. Their list of quarterbacks in the league, like Hall of Fame caliber quarterbacks that have gone and played in Seattle for the first time and taken a huge dump, is pretty long.
Yeah.
It's a difficult venue to play, for sure. It's loud. It's going to be cold and rainy. Holiday weekend, everyone's going to be jacked up. It's a tough place. And, the Chiefs, they beat the Ravens last week they had a come from behind. Was it over? No, they, excuse me, they lost to the Chargers. Silly me. It was the week before they beat Baltimore. But you know, they gagged in that game against the Chargers, and I don't know. I don't think that that's necessarily indicative of the Chiefs.
They gagged in the second half for sure. First half they seemed to be doing okay. Yeah,
it was 14-0. You know, at one point. But I feel like that wasn't more indicative of who the Chargers are than who the Chiefs are. But you're not gonna go into Seattle against a Seahawk team that's really good at home, coming off of a loss that they should not have suffered, that they basically did to themselves. They were just sloppy in that game, and it cost them against the Niners. So they're gonna go in. It's gonna be a motivated Seahawks team at home. You have Russell Wilson, who did not have a good game. Against a Chiefs secondary that is not very good, and they're not good against the run, and the Seahawks are awesome on the ground. So that's a tough game for them. I think the Chargers, you know, their record is much easier. I think the Ravens, I know, are 4-1 since Lamar Jackson has taken over, but the Chargers are kind of built to beat a guy like that.
Yeah.
They're very, very complete on defense. So even though they're, you know, I guess they're going to get Melvin Ingram back this week. But Eckler and Keenan Allen are going to be out. It doesn't really matter, I don't think. Phillip Rivers playing some of his best football at this stage in his career, which is pretty remarkable. He's been, you know, fairly consistent through most of his career. But you've got, arguably his best defense that's ever been assembled on his team. You've got a head coach that clearly doesn't seem to give a shit. I mean, going for two on the, you know.
That was nuts.
Going for two on the road, you know, to win the game against your division opponent, who you are now currently tied with atop the division. Now that takes a serious sack of onions.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, who are we waving at? Some people?
Jeff Castleton.
Oh. His wife's cursing at you right now.
Guaranteed.
What did he mean about the kids? We're going to get into the old Phillip Rivers thing, but let's take a look at the NFC real quick. I kind of said on this show a couple weeks ago, even with the Niners beating them this past weekend, I still think the Seahawks are dangerous in the playoffs, man. I don't see a situation where, especially if you saw what the Cowboys did against Indianapolis. Indianapolis is good. They're still in the hunt at 8-6. I wouldn't necessarily sleep on them either, because it's not like the Ravens are guaranteed in that division.
Right.
And the Steelers, I mean, if the Steelers lose a couple, they could be out. I wouldn't sleep on the Colts either. But, the Colts kind of beat up Dallas a little bit, kind of showed how you can get them.
It put them back in their place.
It shows how you can get them. And guess what? All the things the Colts do on offense, the Seahawks also do. They run the ball well. They get the ball in the hands of their running backs in space. They spread you out, and they can pound you up the middle, which is what Marlon Mack did all game on Sunday. And then their defense is arguably better than their offense is, the Colts. And if you have a Dak Prescott who, you know, everything is a dink and dunk right now. He's not particularly accurate outside of like 10 yards. If everything is that close, Seattle can rally to the ball. It's going to get real tough in the red zone. So Dallas will be able to move the ball between the 20s against the Seattle Seahawks team. And Dallas is much better at home than they are on the road. That has been true
That's been proven.
All year. But I watch out for the Seahawks in the NFC, man. I think the Vikings are a paper tiger. I think the Bears are not that scary. In my opinion, the defense is really good. The Monsters of the Midway thing is back. It's a cool storyline. But I don't trust them offensively, and especially against like a Seahawks defense or a Saints defense. I mean, do you trust Trubisky to be able to make plays in a game?
That's the thing, is he's shown moments of brilliance and then absolutely fallen apart in some other games, where you'd figure that they'd have a much better, the score, the box score, which would show that it'd be a better outing than what they did.
Yeah, I think a lot of what Trubisky's success is, to your point, is really a result of the coaching brilliance of Matt Nagy. He's done a great job with them.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of what he's been able to accomplish has been with Tarik Cohen and, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield. That has inflated a lot of Trubisky's numbers. You know, but you throw 6 touchdowns in an NFL game, that's nothing to sneeze at. And he did that this year.
Right.
He's put together a nice season. If it comes down to it, and you're trusting, you know, on this list, you know, you're trusting Drew Brees, Jared Goff, who has been ass for 3 straight weeks now, you know, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, or Dak Prescott, or Mitchell Trubisky. Who is the guy you trust the least on that list?
Trubisky.
Yeah.
Followed by Prescott.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking at the Steelers, they face the Saints. That's going to be a great game this weekend. That's going to be, to me, that's going to be one, like the game of the week.
I think the Saints roll them by 10 points.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The Steelers are a mess.
They are a mess, but I tell you, dude, Big Ben knows he's been there before. He's been in these playoff situations.
Cracked ribs.
Yeah, he's definitely not firing on all four cylinders, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it's a fun game on paper, and I think that, you know, it'll be competitive. You know, they were able to do, I just, the Patriots, this is the latest we've ever sort of said, oh, they're just going to turn it on late in the season. This is the latest we've ever said that, because they were garbage against Pittsburgh this past weekend. They did not play well.
And speaking of, how come, I didn't watch any of the game, tell me why the Saints squeaked by Carolina.
Because Carolina's defense did a lot of really good things. They got after Drew Brees. They really took Kamara away in that game. And, you know, Carolina held onto the ball a lot. They had the ball a lot in that game. But Cam Newton, his shoulder is a wreck. He was underthrowing guys like on, you know, 10-yard crossing patterns. Just balls he had no business underthrowing, he was underthrowing. But they were able to control the line of scrimmage a little bit on offense. They were able to hold the ball. They forced a couple turnovers. Carolina's defense really came to play. And sometimes in a game like that, it's a division opponent. You know, I know everyone's kind of saying, well, the Saints haven't looked like world beaters the last 2 weeks. Well, they won both those games. So that's what championship teams do. Even when you're not having your best game or when you're against having a particularly tough matchup, you still come out and win. You know, make no mistake, they don't see playmakers like Christian McCaffrey very often in the league, right? I mean, even in this playoff, you know, offensive playmakers, I mean, you got Gurley with the Rams, right? And with the Seahawks, I guess it's Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott, really, right? Are the guys that you're going to see in the, you know, in the postseason. But I give Carolina a lot of credit. The Saints aren't as good on the road as they are at home, which is why them being the first seed is so important,
right?
I think.
It's very much the Cowboys scenario all over again.
Yeah, except if, like, I would trust Drew Brees to, you know, drive me down the field with 2 minutes left on the road. I wouldn't trust Dak Prescott to do that.
No. Speaking of the award for the easiest last 2 weeks of the season goes to the New England Patriots because they face the Bills and the Jets.
Hey, man, don't hate them for that. That's just the fact that their division never gets better.
Right.
Ever. And speaking of their division, we're going to pour out a little bit for my homie Frank Gore. Going to miss the rest of the year. A little foot injury.
Is he coming back? What do you think?
You know what? I'm going to say he is coming back.
Because he was having another consistently good season.
Dude, his last game, he had like, you know, 10 rushes for 95 yards or something like that. I mean, he just keeps on plugging. And, you know, I think he probably will be back. Just because that's just what he's shown in his entire career. Although, if he doesn't, just come and do the one-day contract thing with the Niners so you can retire, please. Like, just come and do that.
That'll happen.
He wants to. The Niners, we love him in Ninerland. The guy who I really feel bad for is Alex Smith. We haven't had a real chance to talk about that on this show, I don't think.
No, we mentioned it on Danny Wright Morning Show. That's on 97.7 The River, classic rock for the North Bay. Friday mornings, listen to Beer 30 segment as well as Sports Buzz.
Yeah.
We're on both of those, 8:05 and 8:30.
Yeah.
Friday mornings.
Or you can listen to my...
Brought to you by Jack in the Box.
I don't know if that's actually the sponsor or not.
No, it was when we first started, two years ago.
Should probably fact check that.
Nah.
You can listen to one of my greatest football years of my life going on, where I continue to assert my dominance in the football picks while simultaneously going to the fantasy football championship game coming up this weekend.
Double-double.
I taught my kids. Actually, I didn't teach my kids. They did it kind of on their own, although I guess you could say indirectly I taught them. But driving into school this morning, every song that came on the radio, they changed the words to "Daddy's going to the ship," as in the championship.
Nice. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, my kids have never sung that song ever.
Yeah,
so, and they probably will never.
Yeah, Bradley's going to the ship. So going back to it, it is an easy schedule for New England, no doubt. Do you think that helps them or hurts them as they go into the playoffs here? Because, again, if it ends the way that they're going to host the Ravens and then, you know, barring something crazy happening, you know, they're going to end up being at Houston probably. You know, they'd be.
Yeah, you know, with the Patriots, it doesn't matter. And I know we just said, you know, oh, this is late in the year for them to turn it up. It doesn't matter. I mean, I know I went again. I'm going against myself, but I went with the Patriots last week on our football picks on the radio, and You know, Tom Brady always finds a way to screw me over, but it's Tom Brady in the postseason. How could you, a betting man, you know, the averages and the odds, he comes through. So I think it's going to be, and they're going to go through the motions. If they're up by two scores in the fourth quarter, he'll probably get taken out and rested.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be real careful with Gronkowski and rest him and not play him as much. I think they're going to see how these go. But if they want to, they can put their foot on the throat of these guys anytime.
The last road playoff game. Oh, what just happened there? The last road playoff game that they played in was at the Denver Broncos in the conference championship game in 2016, and they lost. Before that, the last road playoff game that they played in was the conference championship in 2013 against the Denver Broncos, in which they lost. And then before that...
So what you're telling me, as long as they don't play the Broncos, they're good.
They've only played two road playoff games since 20...
That's crazy.
2006. Since 2006. And so they're going to... This will be the first time... This will be the first time in four seasons that they're actually going to play on the road in the playoffs. This is a thing that we just don't see that often.
Right.
And if they're usually unbeatable in December. Their record in December as a franchise, since Belichick and Brady sort of came into power there, their record in December, especially at home, like they've lost like one time or two times in the last like 15 seasons.
Right.
And so now all of a sudden we're seeing them lose in December. It's very strange. I'm not on the Patriots bandwagon with this at all. I think, you know, I know that they're going to have an easy schedule down the stretch. I know that they're going to get a beat up Miami team and, you know, a beat up Jets team. You know, I think that they might luck in. Depending on what the Texans schedule looks like, they're at Philadelphia and then at home against Jacksonville. Philadelphia, you know, looks like they're kind of rolling. Jacksonville's terrible. You know, they could, if they win out those two easy games and the Texans lose one, they could, by virtue of the tiebreaker, end up just luck into the second seed. But you're still going to have to go to Kansas City.
Right.
Right. At some point there, or the Chargers. So I don't know, man. I'm not on the Patriots bandwagon for this. I wouldn't surprise me to see them lose.
For the record, I'm not going on the bandwagon for them to go deep into the playoffs. I think for the next two games, they've got a pretty easy schedule.
Right.
I think that's the line I was drawing. Hmm. But you think, you know, postseason, though, like you said, their stats, there's no stats to back up their road games. Not enough stats to make a comparison. That's crazy. That's a crazy stat. I always know they play at home, but, man, that's nuts. So yeah. You look at it and you go, what for them, what's the least offensive or the easiest road game to play?
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
Well, probably, to be honest with you, it's probably at the Chargers because it's not much of a home field advantage there.
Right.
That just happens to also be arguably the most complete team in that conference, unfortunately. So it's a tough road no matter what they do. You know, I know a lot of people are on the Chiefs, and it might be Pat Mahomes' MVP title. You know, we're going to get to that in the second half of this podcast. But, you know, that defense is not very good, and they're running the ball pretty well, despite the fact that they have no Kareem Hunt anymore. But I don't trust that defense. And we just saw what...
Yeah, exactly. We saw what happens. They can't stop anybody.
Everything you need to know about Andy Reid in the playoffs, you saw on the last possession of the Chiefs in that Charger game on Thursday.
Yeah, no, he let it go, man.
It's crazy. So, I don't want to get into a thing here where we're picking our playoff guys. We are going to be doing our... NFL season in review with Danny Wright coming up in a couple of weeks here, right before the playoffs get started. So you can sort of hear what we think about all of that kind of stuff while we get more informed on such things. So we're not going to give any lead pipe, stone cold locks here on the 18th of December. But
you heard it here first, people.
Exactly right. Exactly
right. Hot take.
All right, let's take a quick five. Let's hear from the sponsor. We're going to come back and talk about NFL MVP race.
Sports Meets Beer podcast is brought to you by Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. Advanced Auto Glass and Detail is committed to providing you with the highest quality premium glass products and a professional installation by certified technicians. They are experienced in every aspect of glass replacement or repair, offering factory replacement or a premium aftermarket upgrade. They even deal with those annoying windshield rock chips that show up out of nowhere. They offer free local mobile service and offer a full warranty on all workmanship for as long as you own your vehicle. And across the street at Advanced Detail, they specialize in cars, trucks, vans, RVs, boats, show cars, trailers, and more. They are a full-service auto detailing shop, offering exterior wash, polish and wax, interior vacuum, shampoo, trim detail, and even smoke and odor removal. Water spot and scratch removal, paintless dent repair, it's all available at Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. Advanced Auto Glass, look for the purple building at 2460 Santa Rosa Avenue. And right across the street is Advanced Auto Detail at 2549 Santa Rosa Avenue. Advanced Auto Glass, 707-526-5700. Advanced Auto Detail, 707-526-2200. Let Advanced Auto Glass and Detail take care of all of your automotive needs.
So as we get down to the last couple of weeks of the NFL season here, the conversation sort of has gone all season. Who could be the MVP? Could it be Jared Goff? Could it be Mahomes? Could it be Drew Brees? Who can win the NFL MVP? Some of these guys that were imposters have kind of shaken out. Jared Goff is no longer a part of this conversation. He has been, as I said earlier and have said repeatedly in our little group text, he is ass right now.
What do you chalk that up to? Is he exhausted? Has run through the playbook? What? It seems like his checkdowns seem to be a problem.
Yeah. So what they're doing now is no Cooper Kupp is a problem for them. And you don't have any like a big physical wide receiver that can win a lot of like one-on-one 50-50 ball matchups down the field. You're asking a lot of a guy like Sammy Watkins to get down the field and win a ball like that. You need him to outrun everybody.
Right. That's always been his forte, though. He's been that slot guy, right? I mean, that's...
He's an X receiver, so he lines up outside, but he is like a deep threat, basically. That's been his deal. So, teams are basically just not letting anybody get behind them, right? And then, they're stacking a couple extra guys in the box to take Gurley away and forcing Goff to have to beat them. And if all you're allowing them to do is throw checkdowns, eventually what ends up happening is you get inside the red zone and a lot of those gaps are gone. And so now you're asking a guy like Jared Goff, who is not really shown in his career to be deadly accurate, consistently speaking. He's really been coached up. McVay's done a great job with him, but they've kind of figured out ever since they played in Detroit, the teams have kind of figured out, they talked about this at length actually in the broadcast on Sunday, but the teams have kind of figured out like if you just stack up and take the running game away and force them to just have to dink and dunk on you, then, he'll start to get antsy and he'll start to panic a little bit and he'll make bad throws. And he overthrew a lot of guys on Sunday. And we've seen that consistently for the last couple of weeks now. Chicago's defense is really good. Philadelphia's defense is banged up. I didn't think Philadelphia's defense was that good going into that game. I mean, they've got a championship pedigree, obviously. But, I didn't think they were,
that depleted.
I didn't think they were equipped to shut down what I thought would have been a bounce back game for the Rams offense, and it just wasn't. So I think Goff is clearly out of the equation here. I would think because of the way the offense has gone, I would think Gurley's out of the equation here also. I would say Ezekiel Elliott is in the race. I would say after that, it probably is a quarterback list. I would say that it's your Phillip Rivers, your Pat Mahomes, your Ben Roethlisberger's,
As much as I hate to say
Philip
it,
Rivers,
it's either Rivers or Drew Brees. One of the two.
What about Andrew Luck? 3,900 yards, 34 touchdowns. He's going to be comeback player of the year. 3,900 yards, 34 touchdowns, only 13 picks. Has only been sacked. He's been sacked next to nothing this year compared to his regular. He's only been sacked 16 times all year.
A buddy of mine tweeted that Andrew Luck still looks like he should be bagging groceries.
Compare that. Dak Prescott has been sacked the most.
Really?
Yeah. Is that accurate? Nope. Deshaun Watson has been sacked one more time. So Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott. Hey, Derek Carr, look at that. Number three in the league. It's third most sacked quarterback in the league.
Cool.
And he is not mobile all the other guys on this list.
He's gone nine games without a pick, so that's cool.
Look at that.
It means nothing. That and 25 cents will get you a cup of coffee somewhere.
Jeez, where are we getting coffee for 25 cents?
Middle America.
I don't want any. So, okay, well, let's go back to the list then. So, Philip Rivers, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, Pat Mahomes, Ben Roethlisberger. You could probably make a case for Matt Ryan also, except their team is not good. They're only 5-9, so that's
yeah,
not.
Usually that's the thing is that it's, you know, you have to go postseason to be considered MVP, right? I mean, that's just
how I would think so, yeah. I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, as I mentioned, my disdain many times for Philip Rivers, you know, he's making a strong case for a number of reasons. I mean, number is age, right? That was a big thing for Tom Brady 2 years ago. Everyone was talking about, oh, my God, I can't believe he's playing at this level, this age. So now here we are, fast forward 2 more years, and now Philip Rivers doing the exact same thing. And he's you know, Philip Rivers is making everyone around him better. That's just the fact.
Yeah.
He's making receivers that were, I don't even say mediocre, they were good.
Keenan's a good receiver.
But
good.
He's making good receivers great.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the mark of a great quarterback.
Sure.
Of an MVP quarterback.
Sure.
So to me, it's him. And also how, I know the comeback player, like you mentioned, is Andrew Luck, and that's just because of the surgery. But Drew Brees, at the start of the season, everyone was already counting them out, and boy, did they come on.
Not me.
No, but not I'm just me. Saying most analysts were already counting them out by week 2 or 3.
I like to refer to them as the analysts, because Not A-listers. Do you think, this kind of goes in with the winning and losing record. This is through 14 games now, so this person's on pace for like 1,600 yards. 16. So this person's on pace for just about 2,500 total yards from scrimmage.
I don't like how you're saying this person, because you're going to ask me a question. You're going to try to hornswoggle me.
No, I'm not. So this person is 13 total touchdowns.
They have a name, Brad. Use their name.
I'm going to in a minute. I'm going to. It's 13 total touchdowns. They're on pace for, you know, about 15 total touchdowns and, you know, about 2,500 total yards from scrimmage. Running back, you know, those types of numbers. I mean, those are big time type numbers. Team, unfortunately, isn't very good. They had a little run there in the middle, but still, the New York Giants are not good. Saquon Barkley, are those NFL MVP type numbers? And it sure looks like he's got an NFL MVP in his future, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. He is absolutely amazing. Amazing to watch. But I don't, you know, again, I just don't think that, I don't think that, that this is not his year.
No, it's I it's definitely not.
Are you just making a case for down
that,
the road?
I'm just saying that he's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year for sure.
Yes.
And I just want to point out that, like, I don't think anybody's really sleeping on him. I don't want to make the statement that, like, people aren't talking about it, but I just don't think you can take a look at, like, some of the most explosive players and the guys that are making the biggest difference for their team and not look at a guy like Saquon Barkley, you know, not mention him in the same conversation. Let me ask you this. Why isn't Khalil Mack getting more talk as an MVP candidate?
I don't know.
That's fair.
No, you know, it's tough. I think, you know, a midseason injury didn't, if he kept rolling at the pace in which he was.
He missed, let's see, 1, 2,
he missed
3, 4.
3 weeks?
Yeah, by a week. Yeah, he missed 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Which makes his numbers all the more
amazing. The more crazy. Yeah, exactly. But I think if if he kept that pace going and didn't miss any games, then his name would absolutely be front runner, without a doubt. Unfortunately, that injury plays a role, and you look at he's still a fucking beast.
I think it has to do, there have only been two defensive players in the history of the league to ever win an MVP. That's part of it. Right. Teams, like, the AP just does not give a lot of credence to those guys, which is really unfair because, you know, I love Vic Fangio. I wanted him to come back and be the defensive coordinator for the Niners. I actually thought that they should have made him the head coach back when they were moving on from Jim Harbaugh, but you know, they've got nice players on that team. You know, Roquan Smith is an animal also, but really the difference between them being a good defense to a great defense, and I mean great defense, is Khalil Mack, and I just don't think that that kind of stuff should go unnoticed. If he were to play an entire season at the current pace that he's at, let's see, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, So 13.5 divided by 12 equals 10.60. He'd have 19 sacks for the year. It projects to have a 19 sack season. You know, and with all his forced fumbles, 1, 2, 3, 4,
one and
five,
a half per game, right?
That was 7 forced fumbles. I mean, the guy is an absolute game changer. And I don't want to get into a whole thing about, you know, well, what is the most valuable player? I mean, couldn't you say Jimmy Garoppolo because they were winning and then he got hurt and then they weren't winning anymore? Remember, that was a big argument with, you know, Peyton Manning a few years ago. He deserves some credit also, but this is Drew Brees' award to win because the NFL is going to give him a lifetime achievement award. Isn't it amazing? He's never won one.
Really?
He's never won an MVP.
Maybe it's because that weird thing on his face.
It could be because of that weird thing on his face.
That birthmark thing.
It could be. I think it's his to win. I think the narrative is there for him to win it. We've already saw Sports Illustrated kind of wrote this sort of puff piece coming from what was like a who is the real Drew Brees, and it was the same article that's been written about Drew Brees ever since Hurricane Katrina. What a nice guy he is, and his family, and what he did for the city of New Orleans, and all that kind of stuff. Just to put it in perspective, just since he joined the Saints. In 2006, here are his touchdown numbers every year. 26, 28, 34, 34, 33, 46, 43, 39, 33, 32, 37, 33, 31.
God, nothing below 30s. That's awesome.
Good Lord. And he missed one game in 2015 and one game in 2009. That's it.
Really?
I remember how gnarly that shoulder injury was when he was with San Diego.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and interceptions, he's only had more than 20 interceptions in a season once. He had 8 last year, 15, 11, 17, 12, 19 in 2012. And then, oh, my God. I mean, the guy, he's never won it. He didn't even win the MVP in a year where he threw for 5,400 yards and 46 touchdowns. Who was the 2011 MVP? That's crazy.
My guess is Tom Brady.
Actually, I think it was actually Peyton Manning, actually. MVP. Yeah, it was Peyton Manning. It was the year Peyton Manning threw for the 52 bombs.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a lifetime achievement award. He's, you know, much like the Oscars do it with actors and actresses, he's going to get it this year because he's putting together a great season. I mean, he's on pace for, you know, over 4,000 yards again, and he's going to have 35, 36 touchdown passes probably by the time it's all said and done, and he's only got 5 picks on the season. When you talk about the number of attempts that these guys are putting out, it's actually one of his lowest attempts. It's actually one of his lowest years in terms of pass attempts that he's had in a really long time. He's on pace for about 510, which will be the lowest he's had since 2005. Since 2005, this will be the lowest. And, you know, you can credit that to Kamara and everything else. You know, I just look at it and I think, you know, Mahomes is a nice player. And you take a guy like Goff out of the equation, sort of going back to it, because, you know, teams started taking stuff away and Goff didn't know how to adapt, right? Mahomes has clearly been able to do some things when even as teams have adapted to what they were doing with or without Kareem Hunt and all that kind of stuff. You know, he's been able to adapt and make some plays. You know, Phillip Rivers, same thing. He's been able to adapt. You know, they've been missing a lot of guys. You know,
sorry.
What is going on over there? It's complete chaos in here, people. Complete chaos.
Sorry.
So Drew Brees is my pick for the NFL, or is my prediction for the NFL MVP. Although I think it should probably be Phillip Rivers.
I think Phillip Rivers is going to win it. Personally, I think the NFL is going to take pity on the guy who. His team uprooted them and moved them to Los Angeles. They're playing second fiddle to the Rams.
Well, it's the writers is who votes on that.
Yeah. It's going to be Phillip Rivers. You watch.
I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. My pick is Drew Brees. That's what I'm saying. And ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check in with the Sports Meets Beer Instagram page through this weekend, ending on the 23rd. Because you are going to see a celebration of a Brad Barmore fantasy football championship or a very sad fat man. We're going to figure out. Or maybe both. We'll leave it for you to decide, but you got to tune in, check it out.
And speaking of jolly fat men, so with the holidays rolling up, you are going to get just a few segments. We are here recording today. It is the 18th of December. You'll hear this episode on the 21st. Then again, you'll hear some beer stuff on the 28th. and then the 4th. And then you'll be back live with new material come the week of January 7th. So you're going to have three episodes to end the year, or two episodes to end the year, one more to kick off the new year. But we're going to be on holiday break, y'all.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, a couple weeks off would be nice, because we just took a couple weeks off.
This podcast grind is... I can't be recording one out of every 5 weeks. What's going on here?
We're going to be ready for terrestrial radio.
Yikes. Oh, man. Yikes.
Anyhow, that's it. Episode 94, Sports Meets Beer. It's in the books. Thanks for listening.
Instant classic.